Today on Real Life Radio.
What binds the universe together? They have nicknamed it cosmic glue, affectionately. The Bible says it's Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting? God says, let there be light. But if that's unacceptable to some people, they'll say, you know, how about a big bang? Well, this is the cosmic glue. Well, if you know better, it's Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message titled, When Creation Breaks Down. Now, there's no doubt that we live in challenging and perilous times, right? I'm sure you'll agree with that. The world's losing its moral values and filled with hopelessness and coming under judgment, a world living for pleasure and financial gain no matter the cost. You see, when creation breaks down, we'll see God bringing down his judgment. In the second half of the tribulation period, God will release his grip on the world and catastrophic events will happen to such an extent it'll be beyond anyone's ability to cope. What we know is that the sun and the moon will take on a gross doomsday-like appearance, with much more to come. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that we live in an opportune time known as the church age, a time of grace when sin can be forgiven and eternity in heaven is very possible, a time when we can live for Christ and avoid the terrible time of judgment that's coming to this world. And now in his message called, When Creation Breaks Down, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
What binds the universe together? They have nicknamed it cosmic glue, affectionately. The Bible says it's Jesus Christ. Amen. Isn't it interesting? God says, let there be light. But if that's unacceptable to some people, they'll say, you know, how about a big bang? Well, this is the cosmic glue. Well, if you know better, it's Jesus Christ. The Bible says that there's going to come a day when he lets go. And you can see now in Revelation chapter 6, he begins to loosen his grip. And things begin to happen. What are those things? Well, look. Verse 13, it says, the stars of heaven fell to the earth. John saw this future event, and he says the stars in the atmosphere, the celestial atmosphere began to fall to the earth. Like a fig tree that drops its figs by a mighty wind when a wind blows. The word to fall or fell here, that the stars of heaven fell, it means that they were cast downward. And most scholars believe that what this word refers to, rather than Jupiter falling down or Pluto falling down, it's actually a reference to asteroids or that type of activity. Things are going to start happening in the heavens. I don't mean now, I don't mean tomorrow. I mean after the tribulation period begins, radical things. And you would think that when people would begin to see these things, they would say, I give up. They don't do that. Not only that, but verse 14 teaches us that there's geological problems. It says, then the sky recedes like a scroll when it is rolled up. By the way, this word means, have you ever had some sort of a map or some sort of a poster, and you unroll it, and you hold it down, and the moment you let go, it snaps back together again? That's the word that's used here in the original Greek language, that once Christ lets go or releases his grip, it just rolls snap back right into shape or right into a tight page, so to speak. Amazing. By the power of Christ, things are held. But look what happens when such a thing takes place. It says that every mountain and island will be moved out of its place. We're talking about an earthquake that brings forth all of these strange events and at the same time, atmospheric disturbances that are going to take place in the heavens above. But it's going to affect the earth beneath. This has been referred to, or what is referred to now, as cosmological equilibrium. Right now, it is amazing to realize that we're sitting here right now, our planet is rotating, all the things on its axis, the movements of our solar system right here and our general vicinity of the stars that are around us. We are moving, and what's amazing, 24 hours from right now, at this moment, with all of the movements taken into consideration, we will have moved 1 million miles from this distance now that we're at. 24 hours from now, tomorrow, we will have moved 1 million miles. It's as though everything is on the back of a flatbed truck heading down the freeway while everything is moving on the back of that truck. Total all those movements together, and we will have moved 1 million miles in 24 hours by this time tomorrow. And it's in perfect order. We are not going to bump into anything. We're not going to hit anything. It's all under the command of God. You remember Job? Job was talking to God and questioning this and saying that. And God says, all right, Job, you've done on the questioning. Now sit down. I want to ask you a question. Where were you, Job, when I brought out Orion and Pleiades and the constellations? And can you steer them through the air, through the sky? Imagine Job sitting there. No. And that's exactly what we see. God is steering not only the universe, but did you know there's universes and clusters of universes? And there are clusters of universes? And God steers them all. If we were 5 miles closer to the sun, it's 93 million miles away. If we were 5 miles closer, you would be throwing your clothes off and jumping in the fountains out here trying to keep cool. You'd burn up. Did you know that? If we were 5 miles further away from the sun, we'd be freezing to death. God holds it. He's ordained it. This is the hand of God. And you see all the stuff, you know, our little computers talking to us from Mars, and it says, oh, we think there was water here once. No, that's just great. So what? Who cares? If water was, I don't care if that little machine is skiing on Mars. I don't care. My God put it there. What's the big deal? Well, we're searching for intelligent life. Look out there. It all speaks of God's handiwork. It's all His doing, and everything's got His fingerprint on it. But He's going to start releasing it in that tribulation period of time. Things are going to go crazy. And listen, one of the things is there are these laws in effect that when something begins to get out of whack, it begins to cause great disruptions. You and I know this in a very controlled manner that has been ordained by God, and it is this. What causes our tides to go up and down? The moon. Just the slight influence of the moon. Can you imagine if God began to shake things up? Did you know that there are scientists, for example, like Emmanuel Velikovsky, who some of these scientists believe that our Earth, that is at 23 and what is it, a quarter or so on its axis, that it wasn't always that way? And that shift may have caused the great polar cap and the disaster and the loss of many of the prehistoric life that was. Evidence shows that something happened. Just a little movement. Can you imagine if things began to wobble, what would happen? Strange, bizarre, because everything's tied together, atmospheric and geological disturbances. The Bible says that's coming. Listen to this. Isaiah chapter 24, verse 18. Says that in that day, anyone who tries to escape from the terror of the Lord will fall into a pit, and anyone who escapes from the pit will be caught by a trap. Torrents of rain will come from the sky. The earth's foundations shall be shaken until the earth cracks and shatters and splits open. In that day, the earth itself will stagger like a drunken man. You ever seen a drunken man stagger? Scary. It will sway back and forth as a hut in a storm, because the world is, here's the reason why. Isaiah says, because the world is weighed down by its sin, it will collapse, never to rise again. At that day, the Lord will punish the powers of the heavens and the rulers of the earth beneath. The Bible says that there's going to come a day, and the book of Revelation agrees that the earth is going to stagger. Thank God. Are you a Christian this morning? You're going to miss this stuff. This is stuff during the tribulation period after the church has been removed by God, according to the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18 tells us. It's an amazing thing. Second point we look at is in verse 15, when the creation begins to break down, humanity will be brought to its knees. Humanity will be brought to its knees. And look who is affected. It says here that the kings of the earth, and we need to look at this carefully, as there can be no earthly power that will come to its help. The kings of the earth, that word there means the greatest of politicians. Are you looking to the government to be your answer? I hope not. But the Bible says here in the book of Revelation that such cataclysmic events will come to those people at that time that all of the kings of the earth, the great politicians, they can't help you. It says the great men. The word great men are influential lords. We don't have so much of that here in America, but England, kings and a prince or queens or whatever, blue bloods, they won't be able to help. Can you imagine? You know, queen, make a decree, cause the earth to stop. They can't do anything about it. Nothing. See, this is the frustration of human government. God will bring all of man's devices to a conclusion. The Bible says that there's a way that seems right to a man, but that way ends in death. Decision making, having made terrible choices, seemed right, but the Bible says that way ends in destruction. So the influential lords of the earth can't help. Rich men, well, the rich men are those who are global merchants and traders. That's what that word means. Those who traverse the world for trade. They can't help. Can you imagine? You know, you think of somebody like Bill Gates, and I have to admit, it would be kind of cool to have his money for about a day. I figure any more than a day, I'd get in too much trouble with it. You know what I'm saying? Really? I'm scared to think what I'd do with that. But I'd like to try for one day. Can you imagine being the richest man in the world and you can't do a thing about your situation? Now, of course, those things are true often when it comes to some life-threatening disease and all of those avenues of help have been exhausted. But can you imagine on a global scale? I read a stupid analysis of Bill Gates' money. They broke it down. For every American, did you know for every American at the time of the writing of this thing, that he could buy every American a $44,000 vehicle, every American with his money. Did you know that he's worth more than a lot of countries, than most countries? And what are you going to do when the earth begins to take off and shake? And you look at the sky and it's all moving around. And there are events taking place and asteroids are coming towards the planet. What are you going to do? Build a bomb shelter? What are you going to do? Well, this gets more amazing. The commanders, even the admirals and the generals can't do anything about it. And then mighty men. Mighty men are interesting people. The word here means that they're power brokers. They don't necessarily have militaries at their disposal. They don't necessarily have money. They have amazing global persuasion and influence. They can't do anything about it. You see why and how these are such dark and sinister days coming. Aren't you glad that you're a Christian this morning? Aren't you glad that we don't have to go through this stuff that's coming? Well, verse 15 goes on to say, even those who are slaves and those who are free men, they hid themselves in the caves and the rocks, the mountains. As soon as I read that in studying, I thought of two other people who tried to hide themselves when they blew it. Adam and Eve. What were they thinking? And I'm not saying that we would have done anything different. We probably would have did the same thing. I mean, think about it. But they knew God. They talked with him. And if you've read the Bible carefully, ladies, coming against you at all in any way. But you read the Bible carefully, Eve was by herself. Maybe that's Adam's fault, you know? But she was alone when the serpent came and tempted her. I don't know where Adam was, but he wasn't there. She saw, she listened, she sinned. The Bible says, by the way, that Adam never sinned like that. She sinned, he entered into her sin. She blew it. Now, Adam could have showed up and said, "What girl in the world has happened to you?" He didn't do that. In fact, a lot of people see the beautiful story of redemption of Christ and his people. She sinned willfully. Timothy, the book of Timothy, tells us that she sinned willfully, but Adam was not deceived. It says Eve was the one deceived, but you know what? Adam, if you want to think about it, she was deceived by Satan, but Adam, he went for it. He entered into her condition willfully. It may be that Adam, in a sense, was acting out how Christ came willfully and entered into sin to redeem us in an act of love. Regardless, they hid themselves. How strange it is. We can become so deceived, people, that we begin to hide ourselves. And look, we all do it. We all do that because we are afraid of being known. Because if we're known fully, we are afraid of being rejected. Is that not the truth? Well, I'll say yes for you because you're so quiet. You're afraid that if somebody knew you absolutely completely, they wouldn't like you or love you anymore. That's human nature. It's wrong, but it's human nature. You know why? We long for unconditional love. We yearn for it. We long for the kind of love that accepts us just the way that we are. A love that is not critical or judgmental, a love that loves us. And when we either do not see that love or believe that it's available or we don't have it, we veil ourselves. Look at finally verses 16 to 17, their bizarre prayer. They pray, but it's the wrong prayer. Why, oh, why don't they say, "Lord, have mercy on us and forgive us"? Why don't they pray to him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb? It's not where they're directed. Look, and imagine how hard their hearts must be. It says, verse 16 and 17, "And they said, to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne." That's a reference to God the Father. "And from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" Have you ever been to a petting zoo? You ever taken your kid into a petting zoo and said, "Now watch out for that, there's a mad lamb over there"? You ever seen a lamb out of control, like eating people up? It doesn't happen. Seems like a contradiction. An angry lamb? That's weird. That's like getting bit by a worm. How does that happen? Lambs aren't supposed to be angry. Jesus Christ came as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, John the Baptist said. But now that lamb, having been sacrificed and having been risen from the dead, is enthroned in heaven. And he comes back, listen, Bible students, make it clear. He comes back in the second coming, exercising his judgment. Why? Because it is a Christ-rejecting age. It is an age that was religious but didn't know him personally. It was an age that did their own thing and didn't consult God. It's an age that lived for themselves and cared less about God. It's an age that, according to the prophet, said they did that which was right in their own eyes. Are we not living in a time very similar to that? Where anarchy is happening in our own state at this very hour, the breaching of the law. We have mayors in the state of California refusing to uphold the law. That is a crime. And it is the first step of anarchy. Unbelievable. The Bible says, in the end, every man will do what's right in his own eyes. That's anarchy. But listen, Verses 16 and 17 teach us that the earth will tremble before God, and they're going to say a silly prayer. Mountains, rocks, hills, fall on us. Fall on us and hide us from the wrath of him who sits on the throne. I want to end with this. God's not out of control at this moment in Revelation 6. He's never out of control. But he's holy and just, and sin must be judged. And you say, well, this has not been a very encouraging message, and I don't like to hear stuff like this. Well, I don't like to preach stuff like this. But you know what? If one person today decides, wow, I don't want anything to do with that period of time, you don't have to have anything to do at this time. Jesus Christ has provided the way that we can escape such a terrible age that's coming. Have you made that decision to say to Jesus Christ, I don't want to live in that time? Now look, we don't know when this time's coming. I mean, honestly, you look around at the world and it's like, man, it can't be long. But let's just think way out. What if every one of us in this room die of old age? We're still going to go into eternity. And it all comes down to you deciding where you want to spend eternity, let alone the fact that things could happen that bring in the advent of this horrific time. What's your decision? What's your choice? I'm not going to belabor this, but I will put the invitation out before you. The scripture that says that to as many as those who receive Jesus Christ, to them gave he the power to become children of God, to as many as believe on his name.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called When Creation Breaks Down. Kind of a thought-provoking message, don't you think? Glad you're with us today. When Creation Breaks Down, it's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. All right, this is Davey J, and I have Pastor Jack in the studio with me. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, Davey. Good to see you.
So, our book of the month, it's incredible. It really is. But man, is that a title and a half, right?
Okay. The book of the month is incredible.
Yeah.
And the title is incredible.
It is incredible.
In fact, listen, everybody, I don't want to scare you away by the title. So listen, here goes. It's socialism. That's the title of the book.
Yeah.
The subtitle is The Real History from Plato to the Present, How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crisis to Consolidate Control. And that's by William Federer. And I know that's a whopper, everybody, and you're thinking already, I'm tired from reading the title. Please, please get this book. Number one, I have to tell you all, if you're going to buy any book on socialism, this is the one to buy, because he is a researcher.
Yeah,
and
true.
He does his homework, and it is exhaustive. It is encouraging because he's going to let you in on how to identify and really find out what in the world your kids are being taught in their public school system. So this is a must for our Book of the Month friends.
So, Pastor, my friends that might not understand the concept of socialism or how dangerous it can be, would you say this might be a book to refer them to or something I can use to equip myself in order to respond to that?
There is no doubt that this is the book for that very thing. Number one, his credibility as an author just stands alone.
Right.
Everything's footnoted, so you can check and see. But absolutely, yes, socialism is here. It's in America. If we don't stop it in the next 5 to 10 years, it will be the new politics of America. So it's not only a great thing to know, yes, it's a great thing to pass on to others.
Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present, written by William J. Federer. It's available at jackhibbs.com for a gift of any amount. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.